the America's Jobs Team podcast. For economic developers, by economic developers. Join the Consultant Connect team every Tuesday and Thursday for discussions surrounding the latest in our industry.
Learn from fellow economic development heroes, get leadership advice, keep on top of industry trends and shifts, and so much more. You are a part of America's Jobs Team.
And we're so glad that you're tuning in. Welcome back to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. My name is Faye Davis, and I'm here again with Ms. Gretchen Slink. She is the leadership development expert on the Southwest Michigan First side, which is the team that Consultants Connect co-offices with. And if you haven't listened to our episode from last week, and you know, some people don't listen to the podcast every single week, but if you haven't heard part one of habits and energy and habits and how the two come together or how the two interact, I would highly recommend that you go back and listen to our episode from last week first before you dive into this one, because the two are very intrinsically linked together. So with that said, Gretchen, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be back with you, Faye, as always.
I love it. So Gretchen and I get to work together fairly often on leadership development stuff, and we together thought it would be super interesting to talk about habits and how, especially in this really, really crazy busy time, this time of maybe a lot of people experiencing energy crises, we're seeing the great resignation. A lot of organizations are being affected by that. And some of that can stem from these energy crises that people are seeing. So we wanted to talk about how to create productive habits to help people sustain their energy and maybe kind of start to dial back that cycle of burnout that we're seeing. So today, we're really going to dive into the actual meat and potatoes of habit creation. So Gretchen, I'm going to let you take it away. What's on the docket today?
Yeah, well, you said it so well. I don't know how much I can add to that. Talking about energy and the energy crisis that we're facing in ourselves as leaders, but also on our teams, and really building some awareness around what are the energy levels around here. And by energy, we mean, are people able to show up engaged, present, creatively, positively in mm-hmm. their work? And we can see signs of burnout all over the place. And so we studying energy, what can we learn about helping ourselves and others get through just rapid fire amounts of change? And how does that tie to habits? Again, you said it so well. What are habits that help us to build our capacity for positive energy so that we can tackle the to-do list in front of us?
I love something that you said last week, because that it just really opened my eyes to how important energy management and productive habit creation is. And you said, you know, in this time, we're just seeing so many people be triggered more severely and more often. And when you start seeing that in people, that's when you know that an energy crisis is just, it's on the rise. So we're going to assume that our listening audience listened to the episode last week where you talked about the four wellsprings of energy. You know, once people know kind of the background of energy, what's next? You know, like, where should people focus? We talked about the wellspring of body, mind, emotion, and spirit, but it's really, really overwhelming for someone to focus on all of those all at the same time. We talked about that last week where you were like, you know, people will go really like 1,000% in for 7 days and then they give up. Mm-hmm. So where should we start?
Yeah, it's true. Okay, so last time we talked about these different buckets of energy and where you can start. If let's say you are listening to this and you're like, yes, I am burning out. I can feel it in myself or on my team. How do I start unpacking that a little bit? And you always start with curiosity. It's a great place to start. I'm feeling some type of way, instead of judging it or trying to ignore it, instead of just trying to pretend it's not there, you get curious. What's going on for me here? And one way you can do that related to energy is essentially doing an energy audit, a little bit of an assessment of what different practices or habits do I have in these various buckets of wellness where I might need a little bit more love. So we talked last time about body, mind, emotion, and spirit. And we can post this, right? So you can see examples of what would be under those buckets, because we can really unpack that for people a little bit more. Like when you think about your physical wellness, that one's a little bit more obvious because it's, you know, eating well, exercising, getting good sleep. But what would be some behaviors or habits would fall under that mind bucket? Things like, do I have time for designated, focused work, where mm-hmm. I can concentrate and dial in, which, I mean, that has been crazy hard during COVID.
100%.
So many worlds are colliding. So energy habits in that mind bucket would be, do I have clarity of thought? Do I have space to brainstorm and be creative? I love this idea of monotasking versus multitasking. Mm-hmm. Often we praise people who can multitask, but we know that that is kind of a myth in a lot of ways.
It's not as productive.
So am I monotasking, doing one thing at a time, and can I give one thing at a time my focus energy, which we all have felt that scrambled brain lately. So emotion would be different examples, expressing gratitude. Am I being, you know, you said easily triggered, or do I have ability to calm down when I'm feeling stressed or have intense emotion? And room for spirit in the spirit bucket would be, are you connected to your larger why? It doesn't have to be a particular type of spirituality. That's not what that means. But do I have a sense of greater purpose? Am I able to connect to that often enough that I feel energized? That energizes people, those moments. And so we have these buckets of wellness or energy. We can do self check-ins regularly to see, like, how am I doing? And that can be simple, like on a scale of 1 to 10, I feel like I'm at a 2 physically, right. Or maybe a 2.5 mentally, or whatever it is. It can be simple. There's actual assessments that you can do online. People usually feel horrible about themselves after they take an assessment. And it's not meant to do that. It's meant to open up conversation about what's going on for you. And how can we, you know, bump that from a 2 to a 3, not a 2 to a 10, a 2 to a 3.
Yeah.
So you do those self-check-ins, and then you can start thinking about, all right, what are the rhythms, the routines, and the habits in my life, and how might I either delete one or add one that would provide more wellness in this bucket?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I would like to start with adding 7 habits in each of the buckets to help me bring all of them from a 2.5 to a 3.
Don't do it.
Okay.
It's too much. Yeah. So that's the thing. We see the list, or we take an audit, and we do this with goals all the time, right? Like, okay, I'm going to work out 4 times a week. I'm going to eat breakfast every day, and it's going to be super healthy. And I'm going to journal every day.
I'm going to drink a gallon of water.
I'm going to drink a gallon of water. I'm going to send thank you notes to every person I know every single week. And I'm going to make sure I have 4 hours of quiet time so I can do my deep breathing exercises. And I'm going to start tomorrow, and I'm going to do it all. Because that's what a good, quote unquote, person leader should do to be well.
It sounds sustainable. I'm going with no.
Psych. That's a big psych. So what the assessment or the check-in is meant to do is give you a starting point, and then just pick one. And that sounds so hard because we want progress to happen quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But it never does.
Yep.
Slow and steady wins the race, one at a time. Pick just one, because to create a habit actually takes more energy on the front end before it saves you energy.
Right.
It can be hard to create a new habit depending on what it is. It varies, right? Some are easy and quick, but some take a minute. And so recognize that you're in a marathon and not a sprint. It's okay to start with one. When it truly becomes a habit, which remember is not just something you do, but it becomes who you are,
mm-hmm.
it will help to sustain your energy. It won't feel so hard. And then you can layer on another one. So just give yourself some grace, give yourself some margin, pick one,
okay,
and start there.
So I'm going to tell a story about you later.
Okay. Okay.
About, because I went through a little beta program that we did within our office that included both people from the Consultant Connect team and from the Southwest Michigan First team. And this is, I mean, it's a couple years ago now, but I learned so much throughout that regular meeting time where we all together picked one habit that we wanted to work on to fill one of our buckets a little bit more, to create more energy in a specific type of way.
Mm-hmm.
So can you dive a little bit further into like that habit forming cycle? We've picked a habit.
Yes.
What happens next? What do we need to look for?
So let's say we'll just make it easy. Let's say you want to pick a habit you want to grow in the bucket of, you know, your physical energy. That's sometimes the easiest one for people to wrap their heads around. So you think, okay, I'm going to get more sleep. We know sleep is so important. So you list out what you want to do, and you try to get as specific as possible. You know, I want to get X amount of hours of sleep, or I want to wake up at this time, and this is why I want to do it. So before I get into the habit cycle, which I will in just a minute, Faye, because I know that's what you really asked for.
That's okay. You do your thing.
But it's really important you really list your why, your big why. And sometimes you have to ask why 3 to 5 times before you really know, why does this habit even matter to me?
Yeah.
Is it because Faye's doing it and she seems really happy and that looks cool and I want to be more like Faye? I mean, who doesn't want to be more like Faye? But you're you. And so you're going to be unique. What gives you energy and helps you manage that is really a personal thing. And so why do I want to create this specific habit? Is it I feel better? Why is it important for me to feel better? Because I'm nicer to my kids. Why is it important for me to be nicer to my kids? Because that aligns with my values as a parent. And then I feel better at work because I know I'm treating my family good. I mean, really get down to that big why. Because you will want to quit on the habit.
At some point. Yep.
At some point. You will fail sometimes. It's part of the process. And so you'll want to be able to come back to that big why.
So I'm actually going to tell you my story about you that just resonated with me so hardcore. Because you picked a habit when you started kind of creating this habit
yes.
cycle. This
I like to practice
process.
What I preach.
Yes. And that's one of the reasons I love you. But you wanted to get up earlier.
Yes.
And you did it. And it wasn't giving you the energy that you wanted. And you were like, what is happening?
Well, I couldn't do it.
Because you just like kept snoozing your alarm and getting up at your regular time, right?
Correct. Yes.
So when you told that story, you were like, I was going to get up an hour earlier because I needed more time and I wanted to enjoy some quiet time. And you had mm-hmm. all of these awesome reasons. But when the alarm went off, you couldn't do it.
Right.
You were like, why is this not working? Mm-hmm. I know this is the habit that I need to focus on. But you asked why like 2 more times. And all of a sudden you realized, I'm not going to bed early enough. I need to change my habit.
Yes.
I actually need to go to bed at 9:30 instead of 10:30 or whatever it was.
Yes.
And it was the extra hour of sleep that was important, not getting up an extra hour early.
Yeah. And so that goes into when you're working on a habit and it's not working out so well. Again, why is that? And I've talked to a lot of people who failure is not even the right word. Have a hiccup. They have a hiccup or it's not working out. And so they want to just throw the whole thing out and just say, forget it. I'm done. It's never going to work for me. Or they do their one day off. They're trying to do something for 7 days and they mess up one day. So they think, okay, I'm just going to quit. That's not what this is about.
It's not about perfect streaks.
No, I love that you said that. It's not about perfection. It's about progress.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the progress that you're trying to accomplish as a leader is feeling more energy,
mm-hmm.
feeling more present, feeling more joy,
yep.
leading well, making sure your team is healthy, you know, so... It's just about progress. It's really an experiment. So you're right. I wanted more time in the morning and it wasn't working for me. And so instead of beating myself up, I thought, man, I got to tweak this. I need to set up my habit creation cycle, not around my morning routine, but more about my night routine so that morning Gretchen can be more successful.
Yeah.
So to the habit formation cycle, you pick the behavior. You know why that behavior is important to you. We talked about the big why. But then you pick the behavior you want to engage in. And then you have to set up a cue. The cue is super important. So for me in this morning one, it was when my alarm goes off, I will wake up. You need a cue that triggers a behavior. The cue can be, there's a variety of cues that it can be another behavior that you're doing at the same time.
Yeah, I really liked one of our teammates who was like, when I turn on the shower, I'm going to do 10 push-ups.
Oh my word, that was so amazing.
That was so good.
When I turn the shower on and I'm waiting for the water to get warm, I'm going to do 10 push-ups.
Because it takes no time.
It takes 10 push-ups for my water to get warm.
Yeah,
so
it's perfect.
So yeah, he coupled that behavior. That was the cue then. When I turn the shower on, I'm going to. When I'm waiting for my coffee to brew, I'm going to write a note of gratitude. So you want to couple it with some type of trigger. When it's 6 a.m., when I see Faye, I'm going to do 10 push-ups. Wouldn't that be awesome?
I would love that if everybody made that their habit. I'd be like, hey, Faye, drop down and give me 10.
You turn the corner, I'm doing 10 push-ups.
You'd be really
strong. And then Faye will start wondering why I'm avoiding her. No, so I can't do one single more push-up.
Oh, my God.
I do them on my knees?
I'd have so many strong people around me, though.
I mean, we'd all be so ripped.
I love it.
It'd be great. So you need a really good cue. That's natural. I mean, people use red lights all the time. When I'm at a red light, I will. So you need a cue that will trigger the behavior. After you engage in the behavior, you need a reward. People get tripped up on the reward. Like, do I have to give myself $1? Like, what is a reward? It can be something as simple as an affirmation. You telling yourself, I did it.
Good job.
I'm awesome.
Right. Not, I said you don't have to get an ice cream cone every time you do it.
I mean,
which
you
would
could.
Be really cool. Yeah.
Every time I see Faye, I do 10 push-ups and then I get an ice cream cone. That would be my dream world. All many things for so many reasons. So yes, you need the reward because the reward is what will make you want to do it again. Mm-hmm. And the more times you can engage in that cycle, all of a sudden it becomes a habit.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, when you're at a red light, you can't help yourself.
But take five deep breaths.
Every time. You don't even know why you are inclined to hit the deck and do 10 push-ups when you see Faye. It's just who you are. So be careful about the habits you pick.
And the triggers that you, the cues, I shouldn't say trigger, the cue, yeah.
Yeah, be careful of your cues. Or they're called triggers sometimes too, so you're right on that. So cues are triggers. People use those interchangeably. So be careful which ones you pick. But yeah, you want to go through that cycle as much as possible, and over time, it becomes a habit. People always ask, how long does it take to create a habit? Classic answer, it depends.
Yeah.
Some habits, you'll realize, oh my word, I picked that up really quickly. Some take, you know, we've heard 21 days. Sometimes we hear 90 days.
Yeah, it, I was going to say, it does vary. And like, mm-hmm. what is the cliche out there is like, it takes 28 days to make or break a habit. But yeah. that's not vested in real research because it's variable. It depends on what you're trying to do.
Yeah. And so those little things matter and they build over time. And once something is a habit, you almost begin to take it for granted. So I can give another example. I mean, this is like 20 years ago. I was like, I need some more water in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important.
Maybe. Just maybe.
And so I had to make an intentional habit. This was before it was cool to always carry a water bottle with you. So I went to the gas station and I bought one of those giant 1 liter Aquafina water bottles. And I was like, okay, I'm going to drink one of these before lunch and I'm going to fill it up and I have to drink one more before dinner. And I had to do that really intentionally every day. Now, drinking water is so much a part of my life that I feel pretty much naked if I don't have a water bottle with me. I'm drinking water all the time. And if I go a day without drinking 3 Nalgene, you know,
yeah.
of water, I feel like off.
Yeah.
That's when you know it's a habit. And so that was created, you know, eating breakfast. It's these little things that you think, what difference could that really make? But it does. It's all about that wellness and energy management.
So there was a time, and I don't know how much you travel or fly, but there was a time where you couldn't, long time ago, where you couldn't take water bottles. And I don't think even if they were empty, you could take them through for a while. And then they changed that rule. But like, that's the kind of stuff where like, when you travel, that's like the real test of your habit.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have any moments where you're like traveling and you feel like crap day two and you're like, oh.
Well, not necessarily traveling, but in life.
Yeah.
I mean, when you're going through changes or transitions, like we all have, those are classic times where your whole schedule, all your routines get flipped upside down and you can start to feel like, why am I so off? Why am I so cranky? Why do I have no energy? Why don't I care?
Yeah.
Why do all these people annoy me when they don't normally? All of those things.
And I love these people, but dang it.
Dang it. Exactly. And that can be a sign of like, okay, I'm nearing burnout. What are some of my energy anchors, essentially, that I've gotten away from?
Yeah.
And you come back to it. And then, or is there another one that I need to add in? And we should say we have some habits that aren't that productive. So part of the assessment too in the self-awareness is, what habits do I have that I need to kick? Because they're getting in my way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can work kind of both ways. You can interrupt unproductive cycles and you can build new ones. And that's exciting to me because it provides a sense of efficacy.
I love that.
I don't have to just exist and try to get through what's going on around me. There's a lot of circumstances I can't control, but I can control how I exist in these circumstances to an extent, sure, but I can set myself up for some level of success or at least take good care of myself so I don't like physically fall apart and get illness. I mean, this stuff really matters.
Yeah.
In the long run.
That's why I love this conversation around habits, because so many people do need that control in their life. And it's such a good reminder of, you know, when you're in control of maybe nothing else and you're mm-hmm. flying by the seat of your pants at work and mm-hmm. it's just a constant barrage of whatever,
mm-hmm.
there is a small piece you can still do for yourself
yeah.
to make yourself feel like you're still showing up as a whole, complete person, putting your best foot forward yeah. as much as you can.
You can do that for yourself personally as a leader, and you can coach your team through that too.
Because mm-hmm.
there's team dynamics that, are, you know, so you can talk to people about their own energy, but also the team energy. What habits do we have as a team or as an organization that are productive? Always talk about it in the framework of productive and unproductive, that are productive and unproductive for our energy levels, because we have big work to do this year.
Yeah.
And we don't want to, you know, kill ourselves doing it. We want to be whole on the other side of this journey. So can I add a couple things about
this?
Okay. Two things that popped into my mind, and I was just reminded, the start small. So this is a risk of quitting before you really need and want to quit, is that you go too big too fast.
Mm-hmm.
So pick just one habit. You have the habit formation cycle. But again, this is an example that's used. I didn't come up with this. This is somebody else's work, but saying like, okay, a simple habit as an example, I want to start flossing my teeth. It doesn't take that long, but it feels overwhelming.
It's a lot of
teeth. I mean, I have dentist guilt every time I go. They're like, are you flossing? And I think, I got to be honest with you and say no.
Yeah. You're like,
it's not happening.
Like once every 3 weeks?
Yeah. So anyway, if you start small, the example is, okay, just floss a tooth. Just floss one tooth and do that until you get to a point where you're like, well, this is ridiculous. I can certainly floss two. Until you build up and you've got, and you're doing it all. And so it's okay. Like, don't let perfection be the enemy of good enough.
Yeah.
This is what we're about right now. It's okay. So, okay, I can't run a mile. I can walk around the block.
Yeah.
What can I do? What do I have the resources, the capacity for, the time for, the mental energy? I can't write 20 thank you notes a week, but I can write one.
I love that. And I, Jess Ekstrom is one of, she was a past speaker. She came to economics and she's just phenomenal. And she, you know, regularly reminds people that if you start and you fail, you've still come farther than someone who hasn't started at all. And I love that sentiment.
Yes. And there's lessons in the failure.
Yes.
So a failure becomes a double fail if there's no growth or self-discovery, or it propels us to the next chapter. Not everything is meant to work.
Right.
It's just not. But the benefit is to reap the lessons from the quote unquote failure. Then it's no longer a failure, but it's a growth opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, start small. That's one big thing. And then the other thing I want to be sure that we got out there is the importance of accountability.
Yes.
And accountability can be a very scary word. It can be like,
who's tracking me?
Who's tracking me? Exactly. Yes. Who's tracking me? And then it can feel vulnerable and like, oh, now what if I fail? Somebody else is going to know.
Mm-hmm.
It's not meant to be like that. There's lots of ways to hold yourself accountable. You can track it yourself. So even if it's just a checkbox I check every day, or if, okay, I did that thing I said I was going to do today, or you have a buddy that you can send a text to say, I said I was going to do this and I did it. And then your buddy just gives you a thumbs up, whatever it is, that accountability piece, or somebody who's working on something too. That may be the best situation. Like, you're working on a habit, I'm working on a habit. We hold ourselves, each other accountable, but in a supportive type of way.
No chastising.
What's that?
No chastising.
Exactly. Exactly.
Gretchen, I can't believe you didn't floss one tooth today.
Right. It can be like, okay, how come you didn't? What got in the way? And what will you do differently tomorrow?
Yes.
You don't like the flavor of your floss. You picked the wrong time of day. You'd rather do it after lunch than in the morning. All the things. So it's that unpacking and the curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. Okay. Gretchen, we are nearing the time where we have to wrap this up, which makes me
too
sad.
Fast.
This has been
fast.
So much fun. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have you on for so many other things because I love your brain and the way it works and all the information it holds. I love you as a person too.
Oh, thanks.
But, you know, do you have any final thoughts about habits and the importance and, you know, what our listening audience should know?
Oh, that's a big question. That's a big one. This stuff is great to talk about in theory, but the reason that we talk about it is because we really do think it makes a difference in wellness of leaders. I've met with a few people who have said they don't want to retire and then have a heart attack,
mm-hmm.
which we see so often, people just grinding year after year and then their health completely deteriorates. It's like, don't sit down because if I sit down, I'm going to fall asleep type of thing. So your wellness matters as a leader. It matters today and it matters for your future self. So this isn't just fun to talk about as an ideal. It's really important. And so we encourage you to take your energy and your wellness seriously and have fun with it,
yeah.
But take it seriously and just start small. be gentle with yourself, create some habits along the way, get a good team around you to encourage you, and make it personal. It's not what works for Faye is not going to work for Carla, is not going to work for Nick, is not going to work for Cynthia, is not going to work for Gretchen, and whatever your team is. So it's a very individualized journey that you don't have to go alone, but it's important. And so we encourage you to think about it, talk to people, talk to the team at C2. Lots of resources out there to help you. So I just encourage you, especially in the year ahead.
Yeah. And I think that we have so much that we want to share with economic developers, that we want to talk about, that we want to bring more awareness to, because we need really good economic developers, and people can't be the best, you know, for their community if they're not really taking care of themselves. And that is one of the reasons we bring about these leadership development type topics or these wellness development type topics, because we are passionate about economic development. We are passionate about the work that we do, not just in our communities, but all over the country. So yeah. Gretchen, thank you for sharing your expertise. I can't wait to pinpoint the next episode that we're going to collaborate on. And for our listening audience, we hope you have a wonderful week, and we can't wait to see you back here again soon.
Thanks, Faye.
Thanks for sticking with us till the very end. This podcast is sponsored by Research on Investment, Lead Generation for Economic Development, and Gazelle AI. Spend more time closing, less time chasing. Did you like what you heard today? Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The America's Jobs Team podcast is audio engineered by Andrea Fuller and produced by Faye Davis.